What is up, guys? My name is Jordan. I'm with my old man, Howie. Welcome to the latest episode of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. Man, there are reminders every day of how quickly things change in sports. A couple nights ago, we recorded our last episode, and we were talking about the NBA playoffs, the first round. You know, the Phoenix Suns having the best record in the league, Giannis being the best player in the league, in my opinion. And here we are 48 hours later, and the NBA is a little bit upside down from an injury standpoint.
Yeah, the Pelican-Suns matchup has gone from a one-sided matchup to now pretty even, in my opinion, with Devin Booker being out the next two games. I mean, the Pelicans won, and people think that the Pelicans won because Devin Booker got injured. The Pelicans were winning before Devin Booker got injured. But then again, the Suns are probably the best team in the league on paper. No Devin Booker. Chris Paul is going to have to step up. DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, all stars on the team have to step up. But should be a great series. And then when you look at the Bucks and Bulls.
Wait, I was just going to say, on the standpoint of the Suns and the Pelicans, I mean, I would think on paper that the Suns have enough firepower to still squeak by the Pelicans. But, man, that's a big injury. You know, earlier in the season when Chris Paul was out, I think Chris Paul missed like 6 weeks right around the All-Star break.
No, he had a thumb injury. Devin Booker was the one with the hamstring injury earlier in the season. He missed, I think, 3 weeks.
But I'm saying when Chris Paul was out earlier in the season, the Suns were still able to win games.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think Devin Booker is the go-to guy on offense for that team. So when you take him away, finding baskets is much more difficult because Chris Paul's a pass-first point guard. DeAndre Ayton's a big guy. Mikal Bridges isn't the greatest scorer. He's more of a defender. He can score when he needs to, but it's definitely interesting to see how this matchup plays out for the next couple of games with no Devin Booker.
It's funny because in terms of the Pelicans, like when I think about the Pelicans and not having Zion Williamson, I sort of like, how did they even make the playoffs? You know, when teams like the Lakers,
they started 1-12. Playoffs.
Yeah, no. So it's like who's good on their team?
I think that McCollum trade definitely helped them. Brandon Ingram gives me like KD vibes in a way. The way he's built, the way he shoots. He had an amazing game the other day. And then you got Grand Theft Alvarado, who's a pretty good defender. I don't even know who else they have.
Well, that's not just Justin Jackson, or is he on the? He's on Memphis, right?
Oh, Jackson Hayes. Larry Nance, Jackson Hayes, both pretty defined big men. I mean, they do their roles. I'll leave it at that. They know what they need to do and how to do it. And game two, they stepped up on the road. And the series is tied. So
that's pretty amazing.
And then when you look at the Bucks and Bulls series, I think first two games for Milwaukee haven't been the best, clearly. You could just tell their offense hasn't been the same. Chris Middleton's going to be out for the first round, at least. But Giannis is, I think, 20-4 without Chris Middleton. So I think the Bucks should be able to get past the Bulls. It's just a matter of how many games it takes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they have enough firepower to get to the finals without Chris Middleton, but they should be able to get by the Bulls.
Especially next round when they're playing the Celtics or Nets.
Well, yeah, I mean, talking about the Celtics and Nets, and the fact that Celtics are up 2-0, I do have to say after watching some of that game last night,
yeah, KD in a trench coat,
I was extremely impressed by the Celtics game plan and how they really have been stifling Kevin Durant. I just think their coach is doing a great job game planning, and they've got the talent in terms of players. I mean, Jalen Brown, is that who won the defensive player?
No. Marcus Smart won. Jalen Brown's the second guy.
Marcus Smart, just this defense that they have.
They're hounding.
I think it's going to be difficult. Even if Brooklyn gets one or two games in Brooklyn, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to win the series. And again, going back to some of the commentary said earlier this week,
Robert Williams,
the fact that the Nets could get eliminated in the first round. It's mind-boggling.
It's like when you think about everything that they did last year, hiring Steve Nash, everyone's like, oh, new coach.
By the way, that's 3 years ago.
Steve Nash? It's 2 years ago.
No, because
they had
Kevin Durant missed the year.
I know.
And who was the coach?
He missed the bubble year. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's like Kevin Durant, it was his decision. Steve Nash is his mentor. It's his decision. That's,
I don't know that he was his mentor. Kevin Durant and Steve Nash? I mean, Steve Nash was like a point guard for the Suns like 15 years ago.
If you look it up, I'm 99% sure. It was basically KD's decision to hire Steve Nash. And then Kyrie's like, we don't need a coach. Steve Nash is there to help, but we don't need a coach. It's like, when going forward, like, what do the Nets do? They have to obviously bring in someone. And is Ben Simmons the answer? He's supposed to come back game four. But
game four, yeah.
Like, what reason would that? They're either going to be down 3-0 or 2-1. He hasn't played in 11 months. He's not a good scorer. He's a great defender. But how many minutes is he going to get after 11 months of not playing? From a back, and he's coming off a back injury.
Maybe 10 or 15 minutes. I mean, I just don't see where they go. It seems pretty desperate. Actually,
it's like he comes back for one game this season. Is it even worth it if they're down 3-0?
Yeah. But I mean, they also have, you know, the Philadelphia Raptors game last night. How about that?
If Embiid doesn't get MVP, in my opinion, I think it's a complete joke. Like, I know it's a regular season award, and I believe that should be changed. But if you just look at both of them play, it's just Embiid is...
Who's both of them?
Jokic. Embiid and Jokic. I'm talking about Embiid and Jokic.
Well,
but
the thing is, like you said, it's a regular season award. I would have thought, even though actually I thought Giannis should be the MVP, I would have thought going into the playoffs that Jokic was going to end up winning just because the Nuggets don't have anybody this year.
But they won a decent amount of games. You say that, but they don't have their better players, but they still have people.
They do, but you know, again, it's a star game. It's a star league. And they're missing the two guys that people consider quasi-stars.
Okay, but if you're looking at the 76ers, first 50 games of the season, no Ben Simmons. Who else do they have? Maxey became a star midway through the season. It was the Joel Embiid show. They were the three seed when Harden got traded over.
It was. They had Seth Curry. But I agree with you that they should probably wait till after the playoffs to name the MVP, but... The only thing that I think that makes the MVP race for the regular season intriguing is the way the votes are getting divided between Embiid, Jokic, and Giannis. And that's what makes me think it could go most likely to Jokic or Embiid. But listen, Embiid, that was great. I mean, he chucked it up. I mean, we were talking a little bit about Jason Tatum's game winner on
Sunday.
How about
the timeout call for Doc Rivers? I mean, everyone loves to criticize Doc Rivers. That timeout call, 0.9 seconds left, Joel Embiid's trapped. And he had the instincts to call a timeout in that position and draw up a play specifically for Joel Embiid. And there's a YouTube video of him saying, Joel Embiid, shoot, like, you're the one taking the shot. And
but wouldn't most coaches call a timeout there, though?
In that position with 0.9 seconds left, thinking about calling a timeout? Or are you thinking about him giving the ball to someone for a shot?
No, but don't you usually set up a play before the inbound?
No, I'm saying there was the time was Joel, the ball got poked away from Joel Embiid, and there's 3 seconds left on the shot clock.
Yeah.
And he's scrambling, passing, or about to chuck up a half court shot, and he had the instincts to call a timeout.
They had the timeout. I don't think it's instincts. Okay. I think most coaches would call a timeout there. Not that it's the biggest deal at the end of the day.
I don't know, but.
Yeah, but I mean, it definitely looked like the Sixers are well on their way to a sweep, and we were talking about the Bucks and the Suns on their way to sweeps, and now they're not, and they're missing key players. By the way, I saw before we started recording tonight that it looks like they were leaning towards Luka Doncic playing, and now Luka Doncic's out tonight.
Yeah, he should be back on for game four.
I will be very surprised if he comes back and makes it through the rest of the series healthy. You know, I really would.
Yeah.
By the way, so that's a little bit of the NBA stuff, and there's a couple more games on tonight. The Nuggets are playing tonight against the Warriors. Who's the later game?
The Mavericks Jazz.
And the Mavericks Jazz.
I think they're the 8:30. I think they're playing right now, actually. But
some of the other interesting stuff going on in sports. I mean, you had Shohei Ohtani last night basically pitching a 6-inning masterpiece. And he was good at the plate. And I read something about one of the players on the opposing team doing a sacrifice bunt to try to be safe on first. and his own fans were booing him for messing up the perfect game.
For trying to mess up the perfect game.
But I think people were saying, like, Shohei got off to a slow start. I mean, keep in mind, it's April 21st. He got off to a slow start, and then here he is last night in the game before.
The past, like, four games.
I mean, all of a sudden, he's terrific again.
Yeah.
So, and it's funny, is Mike Trout even playing? Because I was
playing. He got hit by a pitch. He'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, I know Trout is, like, people look at him as, like, the regular season greatest player of all time, even though he's only, like, 30 years old. But every time I turn around, like,
look at the Angels team. You got Shohei, Anthony Rendon, and Trout.
And they still don't win.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Unreal. But
another big baseball thing coming up. I was actually watching with my cousin Jesse last night. Tigers-Yankees. Miguel Cabrera's one hit away from 3,000. So that should be pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, but did you see what happened today in the game? They played this afternoon.
Did he get it?
No, they intentionally walked him, and he didn't get his 3,000th hit. And I think the series is done now.
So?
Detroit won the series. No, but you just said it's a pretty big thing with Detroit playing the Yankees, Miguel Cabrera going for his 3,000th hit.
No, I was just saying in general, like, his 3,000th hit was approaching.
Oh, I thought you were highlighting that it could come against the Yankees.
Why would that be a big deal?
I know.
I mean, Derek Jeter's 3,000th hit was against the Tigers.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody against cares Verlander. About that. It's not like, well, let's get the 3,000.
Yeah, no, I know.
But like I said, they did get criticized for intentionally walking.
Yeah. And I know we were talking about Vlad the other day and Soto, but how about Jose Ramirez? I think he has two grand slams in April in the first 3 weeks of the season, 20 RBIs. He just got a max deal from the Guardians.
That's pretty impressive considering
monster.
The season didn't start to win April 7th.
Yeah. It's a monster. 20 RBIs.
He's on the Cleveland
Guardians.
Yeah. That's so weird that they're the Guardians now. It's like the Washington Commanders, right?
Yeah. But
crazy.
Any other baseball news? I mean, Mets looking great.
Mets look good. They won again this afternoon, by the way. 3 out of 4 from the Giants.
Yeah. And Giants are probably top 5 team in the league.
Well, you said that the other day.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, if you're saying it, I believe it, I think.
Yeah.
By the way, strange stuff in the news today. I saw like a video of like Mike Tyson hauling off and punching a passenger on a plane in the head.
And then after he got punched, the guy was smiling at the camera.
Well, I think the guy was supposedly drunk and antagonizing him. Yeah. But that's so scary because last year, Jordan and I, it's about a year ago, Jordan and I went to the Basketball Hall of Fame induction ceremony and Mike Tyson was there. He was there because Jim Gray was being honored by the Hall of Fame, Basketball Hall of Fame, and him and Jim Gray have a very close relationship. But I think Jordan and I might have been more excited about Tyson being there than anybody else, even like Michael Jordan. I think Russell Wilson, we were surprised he was there, but we didn't know he was going to be there. But it's even with going up to Tyson now, I went over to him, he was sitting down, and I wanted to take a picture with him. So I sat down next to him, and I told him that I always admired him. And I made like a connection between him training up in the Catskills when he was a teenager with Customato, who was his trainer. And a lot of people said it was a father figure. And about how my father's family had like a bungalow up in the Catskills. So I tried to make a connection so I could make conversation with Mike Tyson. And this is like sitting next to him. I didn't even have the guts to ask him to stand up and take a selfie. So I just took a picture sitting down next to him. It's like the freakiest thing. He's just like one of those people in real life. He's not like 6'5". I mean, he's like 5'10". But he just looks intimidating.
Brock Lesnar type vibe.
Yeah, but Brock Lesnar is like 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like talking like Suge Knight or Suge Knight intimidating.
Yeah, he's a scary dude. Yeah, but he was nice to us.
Crazy stuff going on in the world. By the way, just shifting gears for a little bit. You know, in the NFT world, Jordan and I were talking about earlier today, there's an NFT that came out last Friday called Moonbirds. And it is a collection that was created by a high-profile NFT team that's had success previously with the Proof Collective. So this NFT, they did like a raffle, and you had to have 2.5 Ethereum, which was like $7,500 in your digital wallet last Friday in order to be selected for this raffle. Before we started recording tonight, the collection is at 40 Ethereum. It's $120,000. So if you were fortunate enough to buy one of these NFTs last Friday for $7,500, get selected in a lottery, that is now worth $120,000.
It's free
like,
money.
That is like hitting the lottery.
Yeah.
I can't even believe that. It's like, you know, VeeFriends, which is like a prominent NFT collection. Gary V's doing deals with cards and putting them on Uno and clothing. And the floor right now is $30,000. But this other Moonbirds thing, $120,000. That's just, it's mind-boggling.
It is
absolutely
crazy.
Absolutely mind-boggling.
It should be interesting to see where NFTs take off the next couple of years, especially with the metaverse.
But it's not even the next couple of years. It's like right now. I mean, Coinbase is now testing in beta their NFT marketplace, which is actually more like Instagram and Facebook, from what I understand, than even just like OpenSea. So, yeah. I mean, it's just crazy how fast things are changing these days.
I wanted to bring up something in the NFL world with the news of Debo.
Yeah.
Any predictions on where he's going to go?
I don't think he's going to be traded. I don't think he's going to be traded. I think the 49ers are going to end up paying him big bucks.
It's interesting. One of his reasons for wanting to be traded is because he wants a lesser role. You don't really hear...
lesser role as a running back.
No, I know. But it's interesting to hear someone ask for a lesser role.
But that's not... That doesn't mean he doesn't want plays run to get him the ball.
No, he doesn't want as many plays run to him because he's like the whole team.
Well, it's not that he's the whole team. I also think as a running back, you're more likely to get injured. I mean, he's a bull, so...
He's a dog.
But, I mean, if he was to be traded, I saw that he liked the picture with him mocked up in a Cowboys.
Yeah. I saw Cowboys and Texans were top two choices.
Well, people were just assuming because the Jets made a pretty aggressive effort to get Tyreek Hill... that they would make a pretty aggressive effort to get Debo. But, like, when they asked Tyreek Hill about his feelings about going to the Jets, he was, like, acted like he didn't even know who they were.
Any chance Debo goes to the Chiefs? Goes to Mahomes and Kelsey? They have the capital, and they have...
Why? I'm not saying he wouldn't go there, but why would the Chiefs do that for him but not for Tyreek, like their own guy?
Because Tyreek wanted more than Debo.
I'm not so sure about that.
Okay.
I'm sure part of it with Debo is he sees all these other wide receivers getting these ridiculous deals, and he wants to get paid.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're going to use him as a running back and increase the chances of him getting hurt.
Yeah, but should be fun. Draft coming up next week. Giants have two of the. I think they have pick 5 and pick 7. So yeah, it should be interesting to see if someone trades up. Maybe, I heard talks about the Panthers trading up to 1. With the Jaguars for a quarterback.
But I don't think looking at the mock drafts that I've been studying, I don't know that there's any quarterbacks they'd have to jump ahead to go to 1. Even if, I think Bob McAdoo, who used to be the coach of the Giants, is now the offensive coordinator
I saw this.
For the Panthers. And before the draft even happens, he's naming Sam Darnold as the starting quarterback.
He says Sam Darnold is a starting quarterback. Then 5 minutes later, he's like, I spoke too soon. I did not mean to say that. Sam Darnold is officially not our starting quarterback.
But when I saw that, it's like if I'm Matt Rhule, if I'm the head coach, I'm like, dude, you're fired. You don't have the authority to talk about that type of stuff, which I thought was a little bit crazy. But the mock draft that I saw with the Giants had them taking an offensive tackle.
And a linebacker, I think. I don't really know the players, but I saw the offensive lineman.
Yeah, but it looks like there's some high-profile wide receivers that are going to be taken as well.
Williams.
They had the Green Bay Packers taking a big wide receiver. And we're going to get into the draft a little bit more earlier next week, but definitely intriguing. You know, I was reading an article today about the NFL draft, which is taking place in Las Vegas this year. Okay. The stage for the draft is being set up over the fountains in front of Bellagio Hotel. If you're familiar with Vegas, and you're familiar with the Bellagio, they have these huge fountains where they play like Andre Bocelli's music. They're definitely a happening. So they're going to have the stage set up in the middle of these fountains, which gives the ability for fans to be set up all over the strip and around the fountains and in the Bellagio Hotel. So on top of that, the NFL draft attracts more viewers than any other sport except the NFL. So like They attract more people to watch the NFL draft than watch the NBA Finals, the World Series, the Stanley Cup championship. Just think about that for a second. So this
is that just the first night or every night or every like day?
I think it's definitely the first night. And what this article was saying is that there's probably going to be 600 people in Vegas to watch the NFL draft, to watch, you know, the commissioner of the NFL read names off of a piece of paper. It's just crazy. It's crazy. And it was talking about the evolution of the NFL draft and how ESPN had first asked to televise it when Pete Rozelle was the commissioner of the NFL. I just think it's fascinating from a business standpoint. And, you know, we're going to touch upon that type of stuff, you know, and the business impact from doing these type of events. But that's just pretty crazy to think that that draft attracts more people than any sports events other than the NFL itself. That's pretty crazy. In fact, I have to say, I wouldn't mind going to one of these days.
Yeah, should be fun.
You know, so that's Vegas. No better place than Vegas to hold that at the end of the day. And I think they were actually planning on doing that 2 years ago during COVID. And that was the year when they actually did it out of like Roger Goodell's basement, which ended up being fairly entertaining.
Yeah, it was pretty entertaining.
You know?
And that was a big draft year too. With Burrow, Herbert, Tua.
Was that the year that those guys got drafted? And what were they zoomed up out of there? Wasn't like... Who's the wide receiver on Dallas, the big wide receiver now?
CD?
Yeah, CD. Wasn't he like looking at his second phone, texting with another girl, and his girlfriend like smacked him or something during the draft live?
And then Bill Belichick's dog came out, something like that.
Like Bill Belichick wasn't even on camera. It was just his dog sitting in the chair, which I'm sure was done accidentally.
Yep.
You know, we got the Minnesota-Memphis game on right now, and Minnesota was up by like almost 20 points.
26.
And now it looks like it's 13, getting narrow. Yeah. This is going to be an interesting series because I definitely expected Memphis, pretty physical, by the way, definitely expected Memphis to win this series. And I'm starting to think that the T-Wolves might have the horses to get it done.
T-Wolves versus Warriors next round, that'll be pretty.
Oh, there you go, jumping already.
Well, do you think the Warriors are losing?
I don't know. Why you got to do that? We should do like rapid fire, like one word answers to questions and stuff like that. Like, what's your favorite movie right now?
Favorite movie right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. Haven't seen a movie in a while.
I don't know. We saw Batman like 5 weeks ago when you were home for break.
It's not my favorite movie though.
I'm not saying it's your favorite movie, but
Shawshank? Usually, like, Shawshank's probably my favorite movie.
I paid you $20 to watch that. I thought it was a Sandlot.
No.
No?
What's your favorite movie? What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie? You probably don't even know my favorite movie. You'd never watch it. So I have two favorite
movies. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Not a chance. One of them is Wall Street with Michael Douglas, which came out in the 80s. You should definitely watch it. And the other one's Biloxi Blues, which you might watch like even better, which I think came out in the 80s. And it's just about, you know, teenagers who get drafted into the Army at the end of World War II and sort of like coming of age.
Cool.
You know? Come on, man. Why you gotta be like that? Dude, during COVID, we literally had to beg you to watch Forrest Gump and Rain Man.
Rain Man was actually an elite movie.
Yeah. Not Shawshank.
That was a good movie.
And then what was the movie with Robin Williams?
Gilbert Grape?
No.
Did we
watch Gilbert Grape?
Yeah.
That was good.
That was my choice. No, the other one was when the wife...
Hill...
We're on the podcast.
What was the movie with Robin Williams during COVID? Where the woman... Mom.
We don't need to talk about this right now, but...
Why? We're live. It's okay.
I don't think they want to hear.
Who? If they're listening, they have to hear.
Okay.
Okay, real quick, just to touch upon wrestling this week. Again, Cody Rhodes on Monday Night Raw getting a lot of attention. People starting to think he might get into the title mix. AEW last night.
He shouldn't, though, in my opinion.
AEW last night was really good. They always have hard-hitting matches. And one thing I wanted to mention, you know, a lot of people have speculated that at WrestleMania next year, which is going to be in Hollywood, that there's going to be a dream match of Roman Reigns versus The Rock.
Ugh.
So last week on Young Rock TV, they were depicting Roman Reigns with The Rock when they were younger. And the child playing Roman Reigns goes over to The Rock and says, "Come on, wrestle me, Dwayne." And Dwayne says, and then the young Roman Reigns goes, acknowledge me, Dwayne. And the actor playing The Rock goes, no, sorry, kid, that could only take place at WrestleMania. So it sounds like they're doing a little bit of foreshadowing of what will probably end up being the biggest match in wrestling history, not in terms of
and
skill,
I'm letting you
but
know,
in terms of hype.
I don't watch WWE.
Acknowledge me, Jordan.
I don't watch WWE as often as I do anymore, but if The Rock beats Roman Reigns for the championship of WrestleMania, I'll be done watching wrestling for good. The Rock is the reason CM Punk left WWE. It is true.
Your feelings are misdirected because The Rock doesn't make those decisions. Vince McMahon.
Are you joking? Listen.
Vince McMahon makes that decision.
You don't think The Rock said,
I have to win the title? No, I don't think so.
Okay. Listen to the CM Punk podcast with Cole Cabana. He specifically said, The Rock said he wants to work a bad guy. He said he wants to win the championship to fight Cena again at WrestleMania because it'll be a big match.
Okay. I don't believe. First of all, Cole Cabana and CM Punk had a falling out.
But this was before they had a falling out.
Remember, The Rock and Cena was done over a period of 2 years.
Exactly.
They knew a year in advance what was going to happen, that they were going to wrestle each other.
Twice? It was supposed to be once in a lifetime.
No, it was not. It was definitely going to be twice. I think they promoted it as once in a lifetime to get people to watch. That's what I think. I don't think The Rock makes those decisions. I think Vince McMahon makes those decisions.
Well, in my opinion, it was not good booking. And CM Punk still ended up having the best match at WrestleMania 29, the one that we went to.
I got to tell you something. CM Punk looks like old when I watch him.
He's
now
also like 43 or something.
Yeah, I understand. But if you want to come back and walk the walk, you know, after walking out on your fans, get in shape, dude. He's like skinny fat.
Okay, and he's probably one of the best wrestlers I've ever seen.
He's not one of the best wrestlers anymore.
Well, anymore, because he's like 40-something.
So what?
Okay.
You don't think Goldberg's a good wrestler, and
he's
like
not
50.
He never was.
I'm just kidding. But Stone Cold.
Anything else you want to touch upon? Pop culture?
16 Candles.
No.
It's on right now.
I think I covered two things last episode for pop culture, so don't really have anything.
Here's the Mike Tyson video. I have this right here. Scary, dude.
Yeah, he's a scary guy.
Bleeding.
But
how much money do you think he's going to pay that guy right now so he doesn't charge him with assault?
I don't know, man. But I think that pretty much does it.
Tyson Fury.
For this episode. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back more consistent than ever with me being home for the next 4 months.
I think Jordan's making stuff up now.
I mean, 2 episodes in 3 days?
Working overtime.
But thanks again, guys, for listening. By the time we're back, another person will probably be injured in the NBA. And
there he goes right now.
Something crazy will happen.
Just set a pick on Ja.
But thank you guys again for listening.
Thanks, guys.